Support for NPR podcasts comes from Northwestern Mutual, the quiet company, committed to building lifelong relationships in communities and protecting financial futures.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Presidential candidates are now focusing on the next contests in Nevada and South Carolina. Hillary Clinton was the winner of yesterday's Michigan primary. Among the Republicans, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney won. His victory widens the GOP race, with a different candidate having won the first three contests. From Michigan Radio, Steve Carmody reports.
It was starting to look like Mitt Romney couldn't win. He finished second in both Iowa's caucus and New Hampshire's primary. But Romney easily defeated Arizona Senator John McCain and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee in Michigan's GOP primary. A visibly relieved Mitt Romney credited his supporters for carrying him to victory in his native state.
You know, only a week ago, a win looked like it was impossible, but then you got out and told America what they needed to hear.
The Republican campaign now moves on to South Carolina without a clear-cut frontrunner. Hillary Clinton easily won Michigan's Democratic primary, largely because other leading Democrats skipped the contest. For NPR News, I'm Steve Carmody in Ann Arbor.
Nevada voters are getting an up-close look at the Democratic presidential candidates in advance of Saturday's caucuses. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Nevada holds the first Western nominating contest this weekend, and all three of the major Democratic candidates came to Las Vegas courting votes. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards discussed the economy, Iraq, and immigration during a televised debate Tuesday. All three opposed the siting of a nuclear waste dump at Nevada's Yucca Mountain. Edwards went further, speaking out against nuclear power in general.
I am not for it or agnostic. I am against building more nuclear power plants.
Clinton challenged Edwards, saying he'd supported the Yucca Mountain waste dump in the past. But Edwards says he changed his mind based on new science. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Las Vegas.
The final stop on President Bush's Mideast tour today was Egypt. He went to the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh to meet with President Hosni Mubarak. Mr. Bush briefed Mubarak on his visits to Israel and the Palestinian territories, as well as the latest efforts to get talks between the two sides going again. Mubarak was one of the Arab leaders who called on President Bush to get personally involved. Egypt is one of only two Arab countries to recognize Israel and will be a key to any settlement. In a speech on democracy on Sunday, the president made no mention of Egypt except for what was widely seen as an implicit criticism of the country's crackdown on political opponents. Oil prices fell in Asian, make that European trading today. U.S. light crude for February delivery was down by $1.22 to $90.68 a barrel in electronic trading. Prices on the Tokyo Stock Exchange closed lower today. The Nikkei average fell by 468 points. This is NPR News. Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip launched some 30 rockets at southern Israel today following yesterday's violence. It was one of the bloodiest days of fighting inside Gaza in more than a year. In the West Bank, the Israeli military today killed a senior official with Islamic Jihad. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Several of the rockets today landed inside Sderot, an Israeli town that has bore the brunt of Gaza rocket fire. Police there say no one was seriously injured. Yesterday, Israel's ground attack into Hamas-controlled Gaza killed 19 Palestinians, most of them gunmen, including the son of Hamas leader Mahmoud Zahar. There were no Israeli military casualties. A farm volunteer from Ecuador was killed by a Palestinian sniper while tending a potato field near the Gaza border. The rising violence comes as Israeli and West Bank Palestinian negotiators have relaunched a tentative attempt at peacemaking. Also today, Israeli forces killed the leader of Islamic Jihad for the northern West Bank. 46-year-old Walid Obeidi was killed in a shootout with special forces who raided an Islamic Jihad safe house south of Jenin. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Jerusalem.
The United States is adding to its forces in Afghanistan, but the Pentagon does not want to call it a surge. Spokesman Jeff Morrell says a surge, such as the one in Iraq, is an open-ended addition of troops. In Afghanistan, he says, the plan to send an additional 3,200 Marines is a one-time deal. After that, Morrell says, it will be up to the NATO allies to pitch in and fill the void. Currently, there are about 27,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan, including 14,000 with a NATO-led coalition. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News in Washington.